Good evening. First off, I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to come to you tonight and to present this lesson. And I'd like to ask, how many of you out in the audience are nervous? Okay, good. It's just me.
All right. Good, good.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you that I was speaking with Jerry, and I came to him this morning, and basically I mentioned to Jerry, I said, you know, I was working through my lesson yesterday, and it's either 20 minutes long or it's an hour and a half. And he told me it better be 20 minutes. So, and also just kind of give you an idea of what I want to talk about tonight. Just real quickly, I want to ask you, how many of you are paying attention to me right now? Or how many of you are watching the screen and the letters pop up and down? If you're watching the screen move around, that's okay. Not a problem. I purposely put that distraction there just to kind of get us in the right frame of mind for the lesson tonight. I have to tell you that over the last few months, this has been a pretty prominent issue in my life, and it just made the lesson pretty easy. But I wanted to start off this evening. I got an opportunity recently to spend some time with a family friend, and got to spend some quality time, an extended amount of time with this friend. And some very interesting things came up during that time frame. They come to us, me and my wife, for guidance and some things like that every once in a while. And it's fine. We enjoy giving that advice, and we hope to guide them in a godly way. During their time with us, I have to tell you, it became pretty apparent very quickly that our friend had a major issue in their life. And they were trying to figure out how to overcome that particular issue. Well, we talked about it for a couple days, but as the days wore on, I noticed that there wasn't just one major issue in our friend's life. There were more and more. They kept popping up every single day. Every time we had a discussion, a different issue would pop up. Whether it was work-related, whether it was family-related, significant other, you know, car problems, it didn't matter. They just kept boiling up. Probably about 3 or 4 days in, we were having a talk and talking about a particular job issue. During that discussion, my friend brought up two other issues or distractions that I hadn't heard the entire week. These were brand new and not related to the issue we were talking about. I'd finally had enough, and I just told my friend just to stop. No more talking. I asked them point blank, how on earth do you even function and get through one single day of your life with all of this stuff going on? And they just sat there with a blank stare. They didn't really get what I was trying to get at. So I tried to give my friend an analogy. I said, okay, you're familiar with Highway 75. Everybody is. You know, quote unquote, our little death trap up here in North Texas. Well, I got to tell you, I asked my friend, I said, so, go get in your car, get on 75, and I want you to start driving. I want you to start messing with the radio. I want you to pick up your cell phone. I want you to make a call. I want you to start texting people. I want you to look at every billboard that you see. Wave at every car that passes. Get something out of your console. Get something out of the glove box. And they're looking at me, and I said, what do you think is going to happen to you if you do that when you're driving? I said, you're going to crash or you're going to end up in a ditch. And then I told my friend, that's what's happening in your life right now. You have so many distractions. You can't fight the major issues that you have. The things that you want to correct, you can't because you're too distracted. Well, I think they actually kind of understood this a little bit. And our conversations ended, and I'll be honest with you, I felt good about the conversations. I actually felt like we made some progress with our friend. But it got me thinking. I actually started thinking about myself and whether I was distracted or not. And something really obvious came to me very quickly. And most of you in here probably don't know this, but I'll share it with you. There was a class on Sunday mornings earlier in the year, I want to say back in the April time frame, where quite a few of the young men were doing classes on the minor prophets. bunch of different guys in here did a great job presenting those lessons. I was supposed to be one of those people. I did not present that lesson. Around that time, actually, I'll make it even easier. The lesson that you're hearing tonight was scheduled for April. I also pushed that into May, then June, July. Actually, in July, I had a valid excuse. I wasn't physically going to be here. But I pushed it off. I hate to say that. I mean, when I look back on it, I feel bad. But at the time, I believed I had valid reasons. Look at all the distractions I had going on in my life. I had some health issues going on, had some things going on in the family. I've got serious job issues. I may not have a job next week. All of those things were distracting me and affecting me spiritually because I actually bowed out of two opportunities to be able to work with my brothers and sisters and present a lesson. So that's kind of a little bit to kind of get us going for tonight. Want to talk about the first part of the lesson. Want to talk about distractions. And one of the definitions I came across was distraction divides the attention, prevents concentration or focus, mental confusion. One of the things that I believe that you will see this evening, especially for this definition, divides the attention. I believe you're going to see that be a recurring theme, especially with certain groups of people that we'll talk about. What I ended up doing is I just kind of divided up the scriptures. We're going to look at some distractions that affected the Israelites. Then we'll talk about the Greeks and the Romans. And then I've got a general section basically titled Cares of the World, just general things that can affect us or distract us. I want to start off and read some scripture with you. And let's go ahead and start off with Exodus 20, 3 and 4. These are the Ten Commandments that are being given. We start off in 3. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Over in Exodus 23 and 24, "When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do as they do. You shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces." You can kind of see up front here, right off the bat, when the Ten Commandments are being given, the people are being warned about distractions right off the bat. No other gods before me. No carved images. Don't create things that are going to take your focus or attention off of me and distract you. Next, we can go to Numbers. We'll go ahead and go to Numbers 25, 1 through 3. "While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Again, you can see that they were being pulled in different directions. They were being distracted. The last one I have is in 1 Kings. Actually, I take that back. It's not the last one, but 1 Kings 11. And I know I listed 4 here, but I actually want to start from the beginning of this verse. Give everybody a chance to get there. "Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, the Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, 'You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods.'
Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord.
You start to see a pattern here. The Lord had given them specific instructions not to marry outside of the Israelite race. He had a reason for that. He knew that if they married outside of that, that they would be subject to many, many different distractions, because all of these women from all these different places had such different cultures and practices and things that they did. And it was just a number of different things that it would draw the focus away from God and distract them. So you look at it, it was different peoples that they were being warned about, different gods, cultures, other women. Very quickly, the Lord understood that there were distractions out there, and he was warning the people of Israel against it.
Well, next, let's talk about the Greeks. Let's look at the Greeks, and we'll turn to Acts. I'd like to turn to Acts 17. And this was, Paul was addressing the Areopagus. It's Acts 17, 22 and 23. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'"
Well, we all have pretty good knowledge that the Greeks had a large number of gods that they worshiped. In fact, they probably had a god for just about everything. So, with that being said, and looking at our definition that we had earlier about dividing attention, how do you think the Greeks functioned in their religious society? It was set up for failure to begin with. They couldn't spend any particular amount of focus or attention on any one of their gods because they had so many of them. It was setting them up for distractions because they had all these different ones. Do you think they ever really, really could have given the attention and time needed to each and every one of their gods? And after a while, what starts happening? Well, you know what? My favorite god is Diana. And I'm going to spend time worshiping Diana, and these other gods are going to go by the wayside. It was just not a very good setup for them. And so it was just one of the things that God, again, warning everybody, look out, there's a lot of distractions out there. Some of the distractions that we have are truly, let's just say they're naturally occurring. I mean, they're just out there, and we make them distractions bigger than they need to be. But there are some times that distractions are purposely set for us. A real good example of that has to do with the Romans. The Roman politicians and leadership were taking a large hit when it came to the things that they were doing wrong or the things that they weren't doing right. You know, the taxes were too high. Whatever it was, they were being, let's just say, bullied about by the Roman people. And they really didn't like all the extra attention on themselves. So, actually, the politicians and guys in charge were really smart. They set up a distraction, and that distraction was the gladiator games. We need to give the people something that will entice them and take the focus off of us and all the things that we're doing wrong and put it over here on the games. And it worked wonderfully for a while. But again, you have to be watchful out there, because some of these things are actually put in our way on purpose. Another real good example of that is politics today. You've got two politicians that are running for a seat in the Senate. And one politician is getting beat up over his stance on taxes. He's just taking a beating, and the one politician's going up in the primary, and it looks like they're going to get the position. What does the losing politician do at that point in time? Well, my opponent has an offshore bank account in the Cayman Islands with $250 million in it. or my opponent has had an affair recently with their intern. Whether it's true or not, all that politician did was make a distraction and take the heat off of him. So we kind of see those things happen in our current life. And probably one of the best examples for you sports fans, a really, really good one. If you've ever seen a college basketball game and somebody gets to go to a free throw line, what on earth are all the people behind the basketball goal doing? They are waving signs and they're all going side to side and in unison, trying to do everything they can to distract the shooter from accomplishing his goal, which is to shoot the free throw and make the basket. Again, distractions are everywhere.
Well, there's some general distractions that we run into as well, and I listed that as cares of the world. And we're going to start off with 1 John 2:15. So give everybody a chance to turn there. All right. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Doesn't use the word distractions, but you, if you read it, that's what he's talking about. The things that you desire, the things that you see, all of these things are distractions for us. But again, those are just general, naturally occurring things that are out there. Go ahead and turn to Luke 21. And when I was looking up, trying to define examples of distractions or focus, the one thing that really kind of shocked me is when I started looking at all of these references, they all kept pointing to Luke. And I've never heard of Luke being called the book of distractions, but boy, Luke was pointing them out left and right. There's a lot of distractions in here. If you go to 21 and 34, but watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Okay. Be careful that you're not distracted by just the everyday cares of this world, the cares of this life. Beware. Well, Luke also has a number of other things that he brings up. And in Luke 14, 17 through 20, where they're talking about the parable of the great banquet, I think this is a really good example here. Starting in verse 17, and at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything now is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go and examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore cannot come. Again, look at all the distractions these people were facing. Again, seemed to be very simple things, but they were distracted from the big task at hand and being able to attend that banquet. So we have Luke 9, 59. This is under heading, The Cost of Following Jesus. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. Again, distractions. Jesus was there asking them to go follow him. They had the Messiah right there. Well, I've got these things to take care of. Well, they were losing sight of the thing that was truly important and was right there in front of them. The last one I've got here is in Luke 10, 38. And this is the story of Martha and Mary. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she called her sister, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her."
Mary wasn't distracted. Martha was. Martha felt that it was much more important to serve the people that were there and to take care of the dishes and all the other things. One had their focus properly. One was distracted. One of the things I got out of all these examples that I saw in Luke is that these people had the Savior right there in their midst. But they had a real hard time seeing that because they were so distracted with all the other things that were going on. They couldn't see that the Savior, the Messiah, was right there. Well, okay, I usually do something fun in each of the lessons, so here's the fun portion for you. I want to do a demonstration, a real brief one. What I'm going to do is I am going to put up a scripture. I need you to read the scripture, try to memorize it, so you can tell somebody else after service is over, so you can repeat it to them. Okay? So, very simple task, right? I'm going to put a scripture up here. You read it and memorize it. That's it. So there, you can go ahead and start. Oh, wait a minute. Now I can't read everything on there. Whoa, hold on. Can you? Wow, with all these distractions, one, I can't even see what scripture it is I got to read. Now I can't see but a few of the words. How many of you right now can do the task that I asked you? Can you read that? Can you memorize it? And can you repeat it to somebody? And hopefully the answer would be no, you can't. This is what happens when we allow too many distractions to get into our lives on a daily basis. You're going to have distractions. You can't avoid it. But you have to be able to weed some of those distractions out. You have to be able to move those things out of your way, or it'll keep you from accomplishing the task at hand. And as you see, distractions can come from anywhere. It can be our jobs. It can be our children. Free time. Hey, college football season's coming up. Joel. Yard work. You know, I need to keep my yard pristine and pretty, so maybe I'm going to work on my yard tonight in this service. Video games. Hey, your parents are asking you to do something, but your head's stuck into video games, and you're basically so distracted with what's going on, you're not hearing what your parents are saying. Electronic devices. It doesn't matter. Anything can be a distraction. We just have to be wary of how much we let something distract us from our ultimate goal. Again, distractions in our life, okay, but we have a task at hand to be able to become Christians, stay Christians, and make it to heaven. And if we let too many distractions get in the way, we're going to lose sight of that goal. Well, we talked about distractions, and basically distractions are kind of a negative thing. So let's talk a little bit more positively. Let's talk about focus. Focus, the definition that I found, a central point as of attraction, attention, or activity. Remember, for distraction, it was divides the attention. Well, focus is really telling us to go away from that and to really pinpoint and focus your energy on something particular. Don't let other things get in your way. Have you ever heard the scripture, you know, wear blinders? Don't let the other things get in the way. Focus. Well, what do you think we should focus on? Well, let's see what the Bible says as far as what we should focus on. We're going to start off with Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth.
Well, that seems pretty clear cut right there. You should be seeking where Christ is. Focus on what is above, not on what is of this earth.
Well, Corinthians 1, 9, 24 through 27. Scriptures tell us, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So you run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
Again, where should our focus be? Our focus should be on an imperishable prize, something that's eternal, that can never be taken away from us.
Again, remember where to focus.
Let's go ahead and move to Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness.
Training us to renounce ungodliness, renounce worldly passions, live self-control, live upright, live godly lives. Those are the things that we should be focusing on.
But I truly think one of the best scriptures that I read related to focusing and what we should be focusing on is in Ecclesiastes. The last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, starting in verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil.
Where should we focus? Fear God. Where should we focus? Keep his commandments. To me, it's really obvious. God is where we need to keep our focus on, keeping his commandments. We should try to do that. And I know we started our discussion tonight with Exodus 23 and 4, the first couple of the Ten Commandments. And I know when I started the lesson, we were on distractions. But if you read those, they're really talking about focus. No other gods before me. I am your God. I am the only God. Nothing else distracts you from me. Focus on me. No carved images, no idols. Focus on me. Don't bring distractions into the picture. I am your God. I am a jealous God. I want all of your attention and all of your time. And God gave every bit that he had for us. We should do the same for him as well. Well, first of all, if you look at your watches, it didn't go an hour and a half. So that's a good thing. After hearing a lesson like this, I mean, these are the kind of things that we should be asking ourselves. So what do you think? Are you distracted? I have to tell you, the last few months, I have been as distracted as I have ever been. For those of you that don't know, right now, my house is completely torn apart. I have no floors in my house. I've been trying to paint to get that finished before the people come to replace the floors. My kids had their musical this weekend, tax-free weekend for clothes for school, which starts in another week. I'm trying to find another job. I can just go on and on and on. And I got to tell you, some days I just feel like I'm losing my mind because I'm being pulled in so many different directions. As a matter of fact,
trying to prepare for the lesson again today, I was still painting. So I was just being pulled all over the place. So I personally can feel the pain that distractions are causing me. And I know that we all struggle with them every once in a while. I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention that just be watchful, be mindful. A distraction here and there is not going to tear us down. But if you're not careful, you'll be like me in April, and I'm turning down opportunities to preach a class and to preach a lesson because I'm distracted. But the thing is, when you tell people, no, I can't do something, or I can't go to Bible lesson or Bible study with you, or I can't go to the devotional, you're not thinking, well, I'm distracted. You're thinking of a valid reason why you don't need to be there. And in your heart, you're telling yourself it's valid. If you step back and look a few weeks or a few months later, you'll see it was really just a distraction. So this is always the most difficult part for me is Jerry is really good about wrapping them up and being able to do the invitation. He's so good at it. All I can tell you is that if you're not a Christian and you're not sure how to focus on God or why you should be focusing on God, that's what we're here for. That we're here to help you understand. We're here to take you to God's Word and show you what God has said about Him, His Son, and what you need to do to focus on Him. If you already are a Christian and maybe you've got caught up in the cares of this world and you're distracted with a lot of things, you might just need the prayers of the congregation here to help you get those distractions out of your mind and out of your life so you can focus more on what we need to. If you're subject to that invitation tonight, will you please come forward as we stand and as we sing?